Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This morning we're celebrating Pentecost, the wonderful, mysterious, chaotic, and dangerous birthday of the church. The Spirit of God is within each and every one of us. And this morning I invite you, as we celebrate this birthday of the church, to encourage each other with the words, "May the Spirit of God move and transform you." So if we can say that together, and then you can greet each other with those words. May the Spirit of God move and transform you. So greet each other with those words this morning. As we listen to the time of anticipation, let us prepare for the movement of the Spirit within us. I feel something in this place.
It feels like fire burning within.
It feels fresh and exciting.
It feels like fire burning within.
It feels like an uncontainable joy.
It feels like fire burning within.
It is the fire burning within.
We are on fire, and the world can't put it out.
I would like to have an opening invocation prayer that is actually a repeat after me prayer with some actions for all of you this morning. The Spirit at times puts us out of our comfort zone, and so this is just maybe an example of it. So you repeat, I will say a sentence, I'll do the actions, and then you repeat after me. With the beat of a wild wing.
With the beat of a wild wing.
With the rush of a mighty wind.
With the rush of a mighty wind.
With the Pentecost flame.
With the Pentecost flame.
Touch us, Holy Spirit. Now, this gets a little bit complicated. So you cross your arms, you cross your hands, and you, what's it called?
Make a bird.
Make a bird, yes. Okay. Touch us, Holy Spirit.
Touch us, Holy Spirit.
Love us into being, Spirit of God.
Love us into being, Spirit of God.
Love us into wholeness, Spirit of wisdom.
Love us into wholeness, Spirit of wisdom.
Love us into newness.
Love us into newness.
Spirit of Christ.
Spirit of Christ.
You undo your hands. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
May it ever be.
May it ever be.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us sing together this morning.
Jesus, send the Holy Ghost.
I can invite the children to come forward, please.
When the Spirit says hope, you gotta hope right along. Hope. hope.
You gotta hop when the Spirit says hop.
Hop.
You gotta hop when the Spirit says hop.
Hop.
When the Spirit says hop, you gotta hop right along.
You gotta hop
when the Spirit says hop. You gotta dance when the Spirit says dance. You gotta dance when the Spirit says dance. When the Spirit says dance, you gotta dance right along.
You gotta
dance when the Spirit says dance. You gotta break out when the Spirit says break out. You gotta break out when the Spirit says break out. When the Spirit says break out, you gotta break out. Break out when the Spirit says break out.
Run.
You gotta run when the Spirit says run. You gotta run when the Spirit says run. When the Spirit says run, you gotta run right along. Run when the Spirit says run.
She also chose the next hymn, so she knew what was coming. Would you turn to the Sing the Journey, number 34? Number 34. The scripture reading for this morning, I will make this part of my sermon because I think it's one of those scripture readings that every worship leader dreads. It has all those names of towns and places where people are gathering from and how they can understand each other's language that I just will only read it once. Mary Shida Kurinka is the author of the book Raising Your Spirited Child. A decade ago, I read this book, and even though I think my children don't necessarily clinically or psychologically fit into that perspective. They have lots of traits of being spirited children. Spirited children have an abundance of energy, are active and alert, and live life being very perceptive and persistent. Spirited individuals are very intense and are often labeled as strong-willed, challenging, and at times difficult. Spirited children live life with extra determination, creativity, zest, and lots of fire. Maybe one of you fits into that category too. Too often, parents, educators, and friends try different strategies to subdue, contain, and manage this spirited child or spirited individual so that he or she fits more comfortably into our family, educational, and social system. Don't get me wrong, there's part of me who loves orderly, compliant, easygoing people who agree with me. It makes my life so much easier. But if I'm honest, it doesn't make it richer, more unique, special, or beautiful. The events of Pentecost somehow make me think that God calls us to be much more spirited than what the church has taught us to be. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Perithians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" We still ask, what does this mean? The story of Pentecost continues to be bewildering to us. Those who observed this Pentecost visitation from outside the room are described as bewildered in verse 6. Or an amazed and astonished in verse 7. Amazed and perplexed in verse 12. And you know how there's limits to our own language. I always find that when I want to describe something in German, sometimes your own language makes things sound just different and more exciting. So I read a little bit about, in Greek actually, terms describing this story and the reaction of people could be interpreted as confused, in an uproar, beside themselves, undone, blown away, thoroughly disoriented, completely uncomprehending. And the English translation, as one author also stated, underplays the fear-inducing, adrenaline-pumping, wind-tossed, fire-singed, smoke-filled turmoil of the Pentecost experience. So in short, Pentecost was and is an amazing, astonishing, perplexing, and spirit-filled experience. Now, what has the church done with it? And I can't help but reflect on some of the hymns we sang this morning and the hymns in our hymnal. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Loving Spirit, loving Spirit, oh, breathe on me, breath of God. Maybe it might be my issue, but somehow these images evoke in me kind of this gentle breath, a breeze which almost unnoticeable kind of touches me and moves me, but it's very quiet. It's that hushing part of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that the Spirit of God does not at times move in a very gentle manner. But I think that on this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a rush of a violent wind and divided the tongues of fire. And for some reason, you know, if I could, I would have like created a rap for this morning, but I'm really not musical, so I really couldn't do this. But I was feeling that what we had to sing this morning would be just much more intense and loud and violent. Not in terms of, but just kind of move us more than this gentle breathe. But our hymnal doesn't quite allow that quite yet. Violent wind and fire are dangerous natural elements. Elements that can destroy the beauty of a particular landmark, landscape, or an entire land. During our trip to Chicago this past fall, we learned about Chicago's history. And in 1871, Chicago had a weakness for big things. And so they wanted to be outbuilding New York and competing with the big metropolitans out there. The city used wood as the predominant building material in a style called balloon frame. More than two-thirds of the structures in Chicago at the time were made entirely of wood. Most houses and buildings were topped with highly flammable tar or shingle roofs. All the city sidewalks and many roads were made of wood. So when a small fire ignited, it spread quickly and violently and burned for 3 days. The big fire of Chicago destroyed an area about 6 kilometers long and 1 kilometer wide, encompassing more than 2,000 acres. The fire destroyed more than 100 kilometers of roads, 190 or so kilometers of sidewalks, 2,000 lampposts, 17 or 18,000 buildings, and of the 300,000 inhabitants, 100,000 were left homeless, and over 300 people died. This tragic event altered the way architects and builders thought about rebuilding. They had to slow down and completely evaluate what went wrong and discern what could be done differently. How and what was rebuilt struck us on our trip as something very beautiful, especially the waterfront natural parks which had not existed before. This would never have been possible without the complete destruction. As radical and tragic as this event was, it gave the city the chance to look at itself, to evaluate and discern, and out of the ashes build new. In many ways, I've thought of Pentecost as such an event. Pentecost is also often called the birth of the church. And each year as we gather and remember it, we are called to build upon or to rebuild the church. Now, I won't spare you with any detailed graphics of the birth I've been a part of, but I know they have not been tidy, quiet, or neat. I would say they've been intense, uncomfortable, painful, and yet beautiful. That's at least my birthing experience. Pentecost, thus, is the time to reflect upon the radical, disorienting, unsettling power of the Holy Spirit, which moves within us and hopefully also moves in our churches. What does this mean, they asked? It means a couple of things. The story of Pentecost is a story of the power of covenant rather than creed, of presence rather than principle. And this is radical, actually, thinking about it. It's the power of covenant rather than creed, presence rather than principle. First of all, they were all together, simply together. They have, in all their despair and loneliness and fear and confusion, continued to come together. Because when people come together in the Spirit of Jesus, you never know what will happen. But you can trust, based on what had gone before, that something good would happen. Healing would take place. Abundance would be overflowing. In the story of Pentecost, the power of God comes not just to one particular kind of follower only, but to all. And it doesn't come through just one culture and one language, but through many as they begin speaking in different languages. And I think we need to remember and understand that language in the scripture actually means culture as well as religion. The power of God, the Spirit of God, came to all, and the love and justice of God allowed them each to understand the other. God's Spirit is unhindering, breaking down barriers, inspiring, illuminating, life-giving, and present in all of creation. What does this mean? This week I read every month Willard Metzger, the executive director of Mennonite Church Canada, writes a monthly post to congregations and to pastors. And this month was the following. He writes, "I do not go looking for challenging conversations, but I don't run from them when they find me. I have come to realize that discomfort is an indispensable element of growth. We generally realize that being stretched is a good thing, even though few revel in stretching. I've been reminded of this during the Church Leaders Justice Tour this spring. Together with Susan Johnson, the National Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada, and Karen Hamilton, General Secretary of the Canadian Council of Churches, they were on a tour, when the tour is done, we will have been to 10 events in 5 cities listening to citizens' concerns and aspirations regarding poverty and climate change. Two very important and controversial topics in our time. The conversations have been invigorating and challenging. I've been encouraged by the gentle but bold aspirations expressed for the church. We have been reminded that the church should be the voice in the desert. The church should not be constrained by the lack of popular support. The church needs to be prophetic and should not be dissuaded by initial resistance. It is invigorating to hear people articulate a clear role for the church. It is challenging to hear people articulate a clear expectation for the church. In Saskatoon, we were reminded that our congregations contain those opposed to the fossil fuel industry and those dependent on the fossil. The fossil fuel industry. It becomes very uncomfortable to have any conversations when we find churches on either side of the spectrum. In Edmonton, we heard a pastor push back at claims that the oil industry is globally impacting climate, stating empathetically, "My people working in the tar sands do not want to kill children in Africa." And in the heart of mixed agriculture in Kitchener, we heard a passionate call to abandon meat and dairy products to become a vegan. These are not comfortable conversations. But the church needs to be a place where uncomfortable conversations can occur. The church is a community of people committed to one another, a commitment that does not require agreement. The church is a community expressing love to one another, a love that does not require assent. Perhaps this is our best witness in secular society becoming more volatile in disagreements. showing that disagreement does not negate our love for one another, may be the strongest Christian witness the church has today. As communities of faith, we must resist temptation to shut down uncomfortable conversations. As communities of faith, we must resist the impulse to avoid difficult conversations. These conversations are the context of growth. These conversations are the context for a compelling display of the love of Christ at work. What struck me new this week, that this event of Pentecost was foreshadowing of a church where what we believe together does not have to unite us as people. This unity in diversity is what makes the church a place of transformation. Unity in diversity is radical, disorienting, unsettling, and yet so inspiring, illuminating, and life-giving. Pentecost is a day in which we're called to be more spirited, to recognize God's Spirit within us and to live with a radical openness to God and God's people, to be alert and alive, to be in relationship with God's creation wherever we are and wherever we go, and to live our lives with determination, zest, and fire that spreads and destroys barriers in the church and in the world, and illumines the world with God's never-ending love. Pentecost is the most wonderful, mysterious, chaotic, and dangerous birthday of the church. Let us celebrate. Amen.
Now, would you turn and sing The Journey to number 46, O Breathe on Me, Breath of God?
And we'll wrap it.
Pardon?
We'll wrap it.
I'm changing the last song.
Thank you.
ask the ushers to come forward. Let us pray. O God, we've prayed for your Spirit to come and dwell among us, and today it has. Continue to ignite in us new possibilities of community and fellowship. Enliven in us the passion to serve and to share of the bounty you've given us. Grow in us the desire to set the world on fire through your Holy Spirit, and in so doing, may we be a people who bring healing and hope to a beautifully diverse world. Amen. I think that our announcements are really an indication of the Spirit moving in our community in the many different ways that people participate in with their giftedness. So in that way, have us the announcements be a sign of the Holy Spirit working among us, and come and share what you need from the community and maybe what announcements you would like to make.
I need cookies, and I need lots of them. Today's the last day for you to sign up for working at the relief sale and pick up your trays and plastic bags. So if you could look at the sheet and put your name down if you're able. And I have the tables taken care of. I think everything's working out all right. Date filling is on Saturday morning at my place at 6 o'clock, so see you early birds there, and everything should work out all right. Thanks very much. And by the way, this is my last year for doing this, so we're looking for a new person.
And just a reminder to all the youth players that we will rehearse during the Sunday school hour up here in the sanctuary today. And I also have Hidden Acres Chicken Barbecue tickets with me. And if I recall correctly from 2 weeks ago, that's Doug's birthday. So I would invite you all to come to Doug's birthday at Hidden Acres on Tuesday, June 9th, for which I have tickets, $15 and $11.
It's in the bulletin, but I just wanted to highlight the next fellowship ministry team event, which will be Saturday, June 13th. It is geared to young families as we're going to the Brantford Zoo. We're going to meet there at 10:30, and if people can bring a picnic lunch, we'll try and set a time at that point to get together again at lunchtime. So if you're not a young family, but if you have grandkids or whatever, please feel free to bring them along. We are getting a group discount rate. So when you come to the zoo, you need to tell them that you're with Nith Valley. And I believe there's a sign-up sheet at the back so that just that we have an idea of how many people are coming. So hope to see a lot of you there.
I'm not sure how the Blue Jays would feel about it, but I think they need to get some Holy Spirit moving at the at the Rogers Center, because they're not playing that well lately. So in 2 weeks, let's hope they have a good game, maybe not 18 innings long like 2 years ago. I got an email from the group ticket guy I deal with, and he reminded me that tomorrow I should have a better idea of numbers. That's not to say I can't buy tickets. I think right up to the day of the game, if people are wanting to come, more or less. Looks like there's 50 tickets and about 44-ish on the bus. And the bus will hold 48 big reared people on their seats, but the kids can fit 3 to a seat. So if you haven't signed up yet, I pulled the sheet down to add them up, but come see me. I know there's a few people I think that are wanting to come or had said something to me and aren't written down. So sometime today see me or we'll talk, and I'll get those tickets booked. So it's 2 Saturdays from yesterday, June 6th. And there was a request. Our bus drivers the last 2 years haven't been awesome. They've got us there, but it's been kind of a long way around. And we were just there on time. So the goal this year, I told them, if we could leave at 10 instead of, I think, 11 we've left before, then we have time for hot dog or sausage and find our seats. So hopefully, I mean, that makes the day a little bit longer. Then we really hope not to have an 18-inning game. But that will be the plan. So the plan will be to leave here about 10 o'clock in the morning from the church parking lot. Thanks.
Since I missed our last sewing circle, I just want to remind the ladies that our meeting will be on Wednesday the 3rd rather than on the Tuesday for June. Thank you.
Next Sunday will be our last Sunday of where we have Sunday school. Following that, we will spend June with some special events, especially on June 14th, we will be celebrating all those in our congregation who are 80 years and older. We have a special service of called the Esteemed 80s, followed with a potluck lunch, and I hope you can all stay. And that potluck lunch will follow right after the service instead of Sunday school. And starting in July, after the July long weekend, we will have several Sundays in the basement, and we'll be worshiping down there. It has numerous reasons, but it also has numerous opportunities for us to interact in a different way together. So I just wanted to give you a heads up, and we're really looking forward to our service, which will be led by the main feature will be a mini musical by our youth and younger youth and youth. So it will be a wonderful Sunday, and of course we will end our Sunday with ice cream bars. Let's take some time to share anything else that joy or concern you have that you would like to bring to the congregation.
I guess I have two joys this morning. One, I think most of you have seen me walking around without my friend, the boot. I gave it the boot on Friday. And so with that comes a little extra strain on my ankle, but it's healing, and it feels like I'm doing some good work down there. So that's good. The second thing, I asked for prayers quite a while ago, I guess, a few months ago, for my little cousin's boy who is in the hospital. He's just over 3 months old now, Peter. And he had surgery.
He was born in January, right?
What month is it?
May.
It's five
months.
Yeah.
He's been in the hospital for five months. Yep.
Maybe Hendrika can just tell the story. Because I don't know what I'm talking about. But he had surgery this week anyway. He was born with part of his stomach had had died. So they had to remove the tissue, and they rebuilt his stomach this week. And he did so well in the healing process the last few days that he actually, the tests came back that he didn't need dialysis, which is sort of the first time that's happened. They did give him dialysis yesterday just to sort of perk up the healing process, but he's doing really, really well, and he's been released from the NICU, so that's really exciting, and they're actually talking about healing at home shortly, so that's very exciting for his parents.
Okay, let us pray together.
Holy Spirit, thank you for this time of gathering, for this time of reflecting, for this time of worship. This morning we pray for all who are afraid of other world religions, other politics and economic systems, other cultures or personality types. We don't all have to be the same, but we pray that our understanding and respect can grow, that we can learn from others, that we can live together. God, we pray for the many people that we don't understand and who might not understand us. Change, oh God, can be difficult. It can evoke a sense of disorder and chaos within us. Be with us as change in our lives occur. Give us your sense of peace. We pray for the many unjust hurts which we have received and others have received. Bring healing and bring hope. This morning, we rejoice with Peter and his family as he's recovering from his surgery, latest surgery, and we pray for the continued patience and your presence. 5 months in a hospital is a long time, not just for a little body, but also for the family that surrounds him. We also give you thanks for Tammy and the healing that has occurred in her body and in her leg. Give her continued patience as she continues to heal and regain strength. God, we know that in the letting go we find life. For deeper than the striving is the flowing. Deeper than the searching is the knowing. And deeper than the grieving is the mystery in which darkness and light are one. God, thank you for being with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
I have decided, with the spirits moving, to change the last hymn to something a little more lively. So if you would take your hymnals and turn to number 50, Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, as our going out song.
Thank you.
As you go forth from this place, may the wind of the Spirit startle your senses and blow through your life. May the fire of the Spirit scorch your complacency and light your way. And may the blessing of the Holy One, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, rest with you now and forevermore. Amen.